How's everybody doing today? Good? Good? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to want you to write it down, the answer to your question, or text it to yourself, or put it in your notes app, or whatever. What is one thing in your life today that you are really struggling with? Just one thing. One thing. I'll give you, if you are wondering what I mean by that, it's like, are you struggling with anger today, or fear, or insecurity? Are you struggling with financial management of money, relationships? Are you struggling with substances? There might be something very specific to you this morning that you're really wrestling with. And I want you to think about that in context of the message that we're bringing today as we wrap up our Fight Club series. And I want you to interact with what that might mean for the situation you're working on, working through. When Joe Louis, who was a famous fighter, when he was in his prime, he fought a two-ton Tony Galento. Louis was favored to win. And if you want to see the fight, you can just go to YouTube and Google it, or put it in. Louis was favored to win because two-ton Tony, he loved to fight, but he hated to train. Is there anybody in the room like that? You love to fight, but you hate to train, all right? At the first part of the fight, Galento threw his best punch, and he actually connected, and he sent Louis sprawling to the mat. Louis was more surprised than hurt, and he jumped to his feet without waiting for the count. At the end of the round, his manager scolded him, saying, "Hey, you know you're supposed to take the full count even when you go down. Why didn't you stay down for the 9? Joe Louis responded, "What? And give him a chance to rest?" And it turns out Joe Louis was just annoyed. It was an inconvenience that he got knocked down. You see, Louis knew that he was going to win. He knew that he was better than Galento. But he had been sucker punched and just wasn't expecting it, and he got knocked down to the mat. It so frustrated him that he jumped right back up and he got back into the fight. Just jumped right back up and got back into the fight. Somebody in the room today, you need to listen closely. For whatever reason, you've been knocked down. It's time to get back up and get into the fight. Tell your neighbor, get in the fight. Get in the fight. Sometimes in life, you know you have the upper hand. And if you're following Jesus today, I want you to know you have the upper hand. We are champions. We are victorious overcomers in Christ Jesus. We are the head and we're not the tail. We are kings and we are priests. We are more than able. And yet sometimes we neglect who we are. We forget who we are. We set aside who we are. It turns out that you are, in fact, better than the enemy. And if you're a follower of Christ Jesus, let me remind you today of what damage can be done when we actually fight. Sometimes you get knocked down, you just have to get back up. 2 Corinthians 10 says this: "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ." Now, what the writer is saying right here is that you have the advantage over your opponent. You have the advantage. Who has the advantage? Tell your neighbor, you have the advantage. You've got the skills to win. Tell your neighbor, you got skills. You got skills. You got skills to win because, watch this, God gave them to you. God imparted them to you. And when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to lead your life, you essentially get an upgrade in life. You get a skill upgrade. It's like you get the luxury edition of the car, but it's you. A new set of skills to overcome the enemy of your life. As with any set of skills, you must learn how to use them, and you learn how to use them with practice. You have to practice. You have to keep on using them. But you have the ability, in fact, to take your enemy to the mat and win. You knock down, you destroy, and you capture. You have the weapons that you need to take the enemy down. And as we've learned in this series, some of you don't love this part, but our enemies are never people. Our enemies aren't people. Well, then who is the enemy? Quite simply, our enemy is Satan and all his forces of evil. Wherever there is injustice, we see evil behind it. Wherever there is violence, we see evil behind it. Wherever there is greed, we see evil behind it. Now, I know there are some people that see a demon under every rock and behind every tree. There's just demons everywhere. And for most of my life, I have shied away from these people out of concern for their mental stability. But let me tell you that the older I get, the more life and ministerial experience I get, it seems that I'm becoming one of those people. You see, I now understand and spiritually can see the evil forces influencing people and the evil forces influencing systems and government and situations all over the place. I've learned this as well. Before you can fight against something, you must believe that it exists. You can't fight something you don't think exists. Well, you know, I don't believe in this. Well, then you will lose. For example, the scripture teaches us about Satan. It says a lot of things, but if for some reason you don't believe in Satan, it's highly unlikely that you will ever fight him or his influences. A verse that we've quoted many times around here, Ephesians 6:12, says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies." That means people aren't our enemies. "But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." This is talking about Satan and his demonic fallen angels. But do you know what the word Satan literally means? The actual definition of the word Satan means adversary. It means adversary. The one who opposes you. The one who resists you. That's what the word means. Is that there is one who will oppose you. There is one who will resist you. Miguel, I need you to come up here for a minute. Just come up here. You're not in trouble. Just jump up here for a minute. Stand right over here. Stand right over here. Now, Miguel. Miguel is Satan. Not really. Not really. Okay. So, Miguel is Satan for the illustration. Now, if God tells me to go to the drums, Satan's going to get in my way. And so I'm going to try to go to the drums, and he's going to block me. He's going to try to block me. Now, Miguel's pretty strong. I know this because I see him at the gym. One day a week. Me one day a week, him 50 times a week. If God tells me to go to the piano, I'm going to try to go to the piano. I'm going to be opposed. I'm going to be resistant. But the piano's the right thing for my life. I'm going to flip it. I really so bad want to just flip you right over. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to go to the drums, and I'm going to be resisted. You get the idea? Everybody get the idea? Okay, you can go away now. You can go away. No, I'm touching the piano, Miguel. Every good thing in your life that God wants for you, somebody say every. Every good thing God wants for you, Satan will oppose. Enemy will oppose every good thing. The enemy will oppose you. The enemy will oppose your kids. The enemy will oppose your marriage. The enemy will oppose every good thing that God wants for you. 2 weeks ago, I gave you homework. If you were married in the room, I gave you homework. And I said, you need to go out onto a date. You need to go on a date in the next 14 days and make a plan on how to go on dates the rest of the year. Now, some of you did this, I know. But many of you did not. Now, we're just going to call you out right now. No, just teasing. Why? Because you were being opposed. You were being opposed. By who? By the enemy. Like, no, Pastor Kurt, I was just being lazy. That's the enemy. The enemy was resisting you. The enemy was opposing you. It's a simple thing. It's a simple request. It's a simple homework. But why don't you do it? Because you're being opposed. And you can just do this with every good thing in your life. You're always being opposed. Now, just in case you have not yet done this assignment, I'll give you a 7-day extension. You have a 7-day till next week now, okay? Now you have a 7-day extension. Now, remember this. The Scripture said already, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the authority in Jesus to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. So when these ideas come or these opposition, you can bring them down. Satan will resist you. He will resist your faith. He will resist your hope. And he will resist your life purpose. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, Satan will oppose it. There are clearly moments and situations in life, however, when the person that's opposing you doesn't look like a demon. Like they're actually not a demon. It's a human being. And it feels like the person is the enemy. It feels like there's a person in your way and that you need to punch that person or you need to, you know, remove that person somehow. It feels that way a lot. But this is what the Scripture has to say about that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 says, be patient with difficult people. I hate that verse. I hate that verse. We're not allowed to delete anything out of the Bible, all right? That's good for all of it. Be patient with difficult people. It goes on to say, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Gently. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. So, hold on. The devil's trap. So the implication here is that, oh, these people are captives. These people are trapped. That's why they're doing these things. They don't even know most of the time that they're trapped. But most of the time they have no idea. It goes on to say, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. In other words, Satan is their master and they are his slaves. So remember that in this fight club, we are not fighting against these people. We are fighting for these people and against the enemy on their behalf. Because at the moment, they are unable to fight for themselves. Puts it into a different perspective on what kind of kingdom Jesus is talking about. Now, for just a moment, I want you to consider that the world has two kingdoms. How many kingdoms? Two. Kingdom of hell, Satan, and the kingdom of heaven, God. Two distinct kingdoms. And for all practical purposes, the kingdom of Satan had illegally captured the entire planet and all of its inhabitants through a spiritual virus called sin thousands of years ago. The kingdom of hell and its ruler Satan literally ruled the planet without any full opposition for millennia, descending the planet and all of humanity into greater and greater chaos. Then Jesus, the promise of God, he shows up 2,000 years ago and he establishes the kingdom of God. And since that moment, every follower of Jesus Christ has been gradually taking back spiritual territory from the kingdom of hell. One territory at a time, one person at a time, little bit by little bit by little bit. And so what used to be just a tiny kingdom, the kingdom of God, is now a huge kingdom across the planet. Started in a little country in Israel, and now is spread across the globe. Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church, my kingdom, and the gates of Hades, another word for hell, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. The point here is this, that the kingdom of hell will not be able to overcome our advances upon it. If we will attack the gates of hell, they will not be able to withstand our attack. In other words, we get to advance the kingdom of God. We get to bring good into evil situations. And we do all of this in order to take back territory that the enemy had once stolen from us. There's this old song that I used to sing. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I want to sing that, but I'm not going to. Sorry, Mary, I can't sing that right now. Yeah. It's in my head, but I'm not going to do it. No. How many of you know this song? Anybody know? Okay, four of you. I'm not singing it with four people. Yeah, okay. But here's the point of the song. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Some of you, the enemy stole everything from you. Excuse me, some of you. Most of you, the enemy stole everything from you. In Jesus, you get to go and get it back. So how do you attack? It's like, wow, let's go. Whoa, hold on. First, you got to know what to do. You have to know how to attack. Don't just let the enemy attack you. You attack the kingdom of hell. You get in an aggressive posture. You can't just take it. You can't just let life happen to you. You happen to life. How do you attack? Well, we had clues earlier. It said knock down the stronghold of human reasoning. This is kind of our intellectual self. In our country, we spend a lot of time on human reasoning and on logic. But the scripture says God will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And there are things that the world thinks of as foolish that God will use, that what God will use to destroy those strongholds. Certain things just mess with our logic. Things that don't make any sense to us. Things that we don't have a framework for. Things like love. Just think about love for a moment. Love doesn't make a lot of logical sense. Especially when love is revealed in forgiveness. It does not make a lot of sense when somebody offends you and then you love them and forgive them anyhow. That messes with people. And so people that are part of the kingdom of hell, when they see somebody part of the kingdom of God doing that, it does something within them. It breaks down a stronghold within them. Or how about not just forgiving, but how about when you decide that you're going to love your enemies? This is what Jesus has been talking about in our series for the last couple of weeks. That doesn't make sense. That's beyond human reason. But when you do it, it changes how other people see you and how they see the kingdom of God. Or how about sacrificial love to somebody that can never possibly repay you? This messes with human reason. There are also things like generosity. Why would you help somebody else when you still have things that you need to take care of? That messes with human reasoning. That is a weapon that we use to destroy the kingdom of hell. It's how we attack the gates of hell. It says, second, destroy false arguments. There's a lot of false arguments out there. There's just stupid stuff people say, you could also call it. A lot of false arguments. The Scripture tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Most of you have already experienced this in your life. You're like, oh, I thought this was the right thing to do, and it messed my whole life up. How do you destroy false arguments? Well, you don't just point it out. You don't just say, hey, everything you think is dumb. It might be true, but it's not always the best way to say it. You don't just point it out, you live it out. You live out the truth, and you help direct people towards freedom. Not because it's way over there, but because you're on it and you're helping them come. It's not enough to point out the problem. It's never been enough to point out the problem. Anybody can do that. You've got to live it out. And if you're not going to live it out, please just be quiet. Because it messes everybody else up. They need to be free. They don't need to have you mess them up. As the worship team comes up, it says, destroy proud obstacles that keep people from God. Destroy proud obstacles. What's a proud obstacle? Just think about that for a moment. What's a proud obstacle? Well, these are prideful things in our spirit. They're things that we're proud of, or things that we've just believed about ourselves or about a situation. Things like this. Well, I'm a self-made man, or I'm a self-made woman. Oh yeah, like there's never been anybody on the planet before you. You didn't get eaten by a wolf today, all right? I'm a self-made man, so I can't rely on God. I got to rely only on myself. I mean, that's just a crutch. This is a proud obstacle. Or, I just do bad stuff. I'm a bad person, so I can't obey the Scriptures. I'm not going to do that. I'm a bad person. Or I'm a man, so I can't worship God because I'm a man. I'm a man. Or, I feel worthless. I'm worthless. So I can't do what God created me to do. I'm worthless. It's a thought that a lot of people have. Or there's more identity kind of issues that have started to creep into our culture. I just heard this recently. Somebody said, I'm gay, so I can't believe the Bible. It always breaks my heart when I hear that. I heard this just yesterday, the day before. We were outside the Revere location. Some lady asked us what's going on. She said, is it going to be a church again? I said, yeah, yep. And I gave her a little bit of information about it. And she says this to me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm Italian. I can't go to church. Actually happened. Pastor Roy can vouch for it. He was there. She goes, I'm Italian, I can't go to church, I have to be Catholic. That's what she said. I said, oh, did you go to Mass somewhere? No, I'm Italian, but I have to be Catholic. So you're not going anywhere? No. And so she just walked away the whole time going, I'm Italian, I have to be Catholic, I'm Italian, I have to be Catholic. I was just going to help her go to Mass. But somehow there's just a proud argument that's kind of gotten in the way of her taking a step forward with God. I could literally give you thousands of things. Identity issues, circumstance issues, scenario issues. These are just proud obstacles that keep people from God. Part of what we do is we destroy proud obstacles. We also capture rebellious thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. But after everything is said and done, it all comes down to Jesus. Jesus is the argument that tears down strongholds. And Jesus is the truth that destroys false arguments. And Jesus is the power that destroys proud obstacles. And Jesus is the peace that takes rebel thoughts and forces them to bow down. Jesus said, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, as I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. What that means for us today is that after everything is said and done, Jesus is the answer. And if you're knocked down, if you want to get back up, still, all you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. Would you stand with me as we close? Close your eyes, bow your heads just for a moment. Earlier I asked you to think about or write down one thing in your life that you're really struggling with today. One thing that you just don't seem to be able to shake. I want to remind you that in that situation, Jesus is the answer. He's always been the answer. He always will be the answer. Maybe today you need to take that and give it to Jesus. Maybe you need to ask or invite Jesus into that situation and ask Jesus to lead you through it. Maybe there's some things in your life today that you forgot about. You forgot that you had weapons. You forgot that you are more than a conqueror. You forgot that you're an overcomer. You forgot that you're the head and not the tail, because you sure don't feel like you're living that way. Some of you today, I call out to you and say, remember who you are. Remember who you are. For others of you, I invite you. I invite you to own who you are in Jesus. Maybe you didn't know this before. This is who you are. And if you're here today and you're currently not in a relationship with Jesus, I want to challenge you to consider. Why not? Why aren't you? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to ask Jesus to forgive you and to lead your life. He's always wanted to. Maybe today's that day. So now, why don't you spend some time in prayer? Take a moment to respond today. How is it that you can use these weapons to overcome these situations? The altars are open if you want to come and pray. Spend some time today.
Before you go to sleep, take a moment and remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. Set aside all the other stuff and hold on to who Jesus says you are. He is everything you need. Tomorrow, you wake up, take a moment. Talk to Jesus. And just repeat every day. Just one day at a time. Father, thank you that you gave us weapons. Weapons to win. Weapons to live life successfully with. Weapons to overcome. Would you help us to see your son Jesus as the argument that tears down every stronghold, and to see Jesus as the truth that destroys every false argument, and that Jesus is the power to destroy every proud obstacle in our life. And would you help us to submit even our thinking to Jesus so that rebel thoughts would bow down? Today, help each and every one to see that they are conquerors in Jesus Christ, that they are overcomers, that they are the head and not the tail. And that the plans that you have for each and every one are beyond what we could possibly imagine. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Thank you for who you are and what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.